previously on D&D.
What we would do if we were back home is probably go back to Dalamith here and do some research in the libraries. I mean...
Oh, the picture book.
The picture book.
The picture book,
but
yeah.
Jumbo, the picture book. Oh, right. I was kind of just playing with it. He's just like, he's just got it open and he's just kind of like flipping pages.
We'll all stand guard.
Do we feel safe? That was a very important aspect. He warned us that we would be vulnerable. There's no more bird lizards.
Maybe Nils should keep watch.
Yeah, I'll keep watch. I'll do that.
They don't notice you as they approach these creatures, and it seems as they get closer, you can see that they are elves. And they come through the trees, and they notice that there are these three bodies lying on the ground. They approach your unconscious comrades, and they start to root around in their belongings.
Nope. I jump down from the tree, or I climb down from the tree.
And they, like, step back, and they ready their weapons.
Yeah. What are you doing?
And they say something in Elvish. You can't understand it, but the one of them steps forward and waves his sword in a very threatening way and says something in Elvish that's clearly a taunt. The other two laugh.
Ah, language barrier. Dang it.
Welcome to D&D, the Dream Party Role-Playing Podcast. I'm your host and Dungeon Master James Gressel, and with me today are Mike and Beth, the fun people.
Hi!
It's still throwing me off that it's like half of you, but you're still fun. And then I think on one of them you pointed out that you're still fun.
Yeah. We are.
I had to say it. Yeah. Because again, here you didn't say it. Wait, no, you
did. I almost did not. I almost did not.
We just jumped the gun and just said hi instead.
That's true. We're ready. We're on cue.
It's nighttime. We're recording in the night.
Yes.
It's also the holiday season over at the Gressels' home. There's garlands and lights and every color.
It's my favorite time of year. I love these colors.
It's so cozy.
Yeah, I do. I do really love the lights. We got some of the big bulbs up, the big Stranger Things bulbs, which I'm not the biggest fan of, truth be told.
I won't tell your wife.
I like them.
They're a little bit too warm for me. The yellow, orange, and red all in a row, I think, is overpowering the blue and green.
That's very artful of you.
Yeah, hey. Everything is art. Listen to your art, friends.
Plug.
Ayo,
a minute in. We did it.
My other podcast. Very fun. It has Easter vibes.
Because they're egg-like?
And pastel. Yellow tones.
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. It's very Christmassy.
They are very Christmassy. I love Christmas lights. I love Christmas trees. We have our Christmas tree up. We have our garland, like Beth said. We recently had Thanksgiving since the last episode came out, which came out the day before Thanksgiving. And then we had Thanksgiving, and everybody, we were very fortunate to have dinner with our friends, whom we love. And
it was amazing. The food was unreal.
It was the best food. Everybody
best Thanksgiving
brought
ever,
their
truly.
A game.
Yeah, I've been to other Friendsgivings and like back in college and before then, and folks make the standard stuff. Not this crew. This group of people, D&D indeed. Everyone shows up with like their family recipe, but elevated.
Yeah. It seemed like a Top Chef challenge to be like, elevate Thanksgiving. And then everybody made Padma
happy.
Absolutely
did, yeah.
It was my first true Friendsgiving.
It was. Yeah.
I'd never been here for it out of seven years. 7 years.
This was
seven years.
Yeah. Not counting last year, right. which we had our little mini one.
That was our mini one. And that was, again, another very good one. Unbelievable.
Yeah, Gressel was the only cook for that one. Yeah.
I overdid it. That was overdoing it.
Yeah, still recovering.
But this year was excellent. Yeah, you guys made pierogies. The first food I want to talk about is definitely your pierogies
that
you guys made.
Thank you. Yeah, well, I'm Polish, and I have my family would do pierogies for pretty much every holiday. And I thought, you know, we've never made them from scratch. I'd never made pierogies.
Mm-hmm.
Beth had never either, and we made them.
Yeah, I've made dumplings before. It's very similar.
And yeah, it's one of those things Yeah, like dumplings or empanadas or pasties, mm-hmm. where you're like, we're all the same. You know, like you realize that there's certain things that, like, yeah, everybody's got, we're all just people. We're all, yeah. we all love things inside of dough.
Yeah.
Soft, can't fluffy,
yeah.
pan fried, crispy, buttery pierogies.
I actually didn't get one of Mike's.
Oh, you didn't?
They were gone.
Yeah, there weren't that many.
Before I got one.
Yeah, we had two different kinds.
They devoured them, and I got one of yours.
Really?
Yeah, which was amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, we had two different kinds. Mike's were the sort of traditional cheese and potato kind.
Yeah, cheese and goat cheese and potato. Ooh. And I think, did we put dill in there?
Dill in there, yeah.
A little bit of dill in there.
Yeah. Brussels, not the...
They're so good.
And then mine, I did like a pumpkin ricotta parmesan maple sage pierogi. God.
The sage was beautiful.
Thank you.
The sage was really, really something special.
It was like a dessert. Yeah. I saved it for the last. That was my last bite was one of that pierogi. I was just like, oh my God.
That's so special. What a compliment. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah.
It was incredible. All of our friends really brought their A game. I did turkey and stuff. I don't need to
it was great.
Run down all the stuff that I made.
I will never eat a turkey that's better than Grussel's turkey.
Yeah.
It's a tragedy that one day I will have to do Thanksgiving someplace else and I will have to say, yes, this turkey is good and I will know Grussel's turkey.
And just eat it with a little tear. Yeah. I shed a tear for Grussel's turkey.
I am very, very proud of the fact that every year the turkey has gotten better.
Yeah.
So even from last year, better. This one was better. I also made two test turkeys, though. So
we got a little bit of your test turkey.
You did get the test turkey. That was good, which turkey. I didn't. That was the one that I didn't make. That was the smoked one.
He smoked turkey. And if you've ever been to a Renaissance festival here in the States and you get a smoked turkey leg and it's just like dripping down your hand. It took me right back to being a kid walking around the Ren Fair with a smoked turkey leg. It's just the magic. Best.
That's it. I love that. Thank you. Mm. It was a...
That was the bad turkey?
That was the bad turkey. That was the turkey
that took me back to childhood.
That was the one that didn't make the cut. Yeah, you guys got some of the ice cream that didn't make the cut, too. You got the raspberry lime ice cream.
Raspberry lime ice cream turns out tastes exactly like Fruity Pebbles.
Yeah, that...
No, sorry.
Fruit Loops. Yeah. To be more specific. But yeah, that one didn't make the cut either. I ended up going with just plain vanilla. But I'm glad that you guys got to eat some of it.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah. It turned out great. But that is the shared meal. The Thanksgiving is the shared meal for me that kind of kicked off the idea behind this, the prequel series that we are about to get back into. Not Thanksgiving specifically, there's another shared meal, other shared meals that we will get into the inspiration for that will become clear later in the story, perhaps. But we did the Harvest Festival thing last year, so I didn't want to like just hit Thanksgiving type stuff again, you know, like autumnal, you know, Northeastern United States type food again. It's still the inspo, the idea of everybody getting together, you know, and like sharing food with a bunch of people, you know, and that's what we did. I hope you enjoy, if you celebrate American Thanksgiving, I hope that you had a lovely time as well, or in the holiday season upon us, that you get to share some meal with some lovely people, share a lovely meal with some lovely people.
Yeah. It's the best.
It is. It's my favorite way of doing what's fun is to do that. So, but one of my other favorite ways is to play Dungeons and Dragons, and that's what we're going to do right now. Hey. So thank you guys for, I don't know, Thanksgiving. I don't know why I said
thank
that.
You.
Thank you.
That's what
we're
happened.
Also thankful.
It's always the best thing.
Yeah,
it is. So, we're going to get back into our prequel series, following the meet cute between Nils and, Katheria. Last we left you guys off, you were inside the Feywild, having been given a quest by the wizard Plinthor and Belamore, who said that in order for to procure his aid in returning you to your home, you need to track down some missing dinner guests of his. He has a connection to the powerful Council of Fey Elves who run this place, or have designs on running it anyways. Which has a special meaning for Katheria. and the mysterious arrangement between her family and the elves of the Feywild. Nils, meanwhile, kind of just off trying to make a name for himself as an adventurer, you know, live up to his family's lofty expectations. He's found himself in this mysterious new place. Currently, Nils is in a situation that he's found himself in before, where he is circling an opponent who is taunting him and calling him out, while his friends lie unconscious, astral projecting into Plinthoran's library.
Oh, man.
So that is where we are going to pick back up. Yeah, so Nils, you have just jumped down from this tree. The unconscious bodies, I should be very clear. The unconscious bodies of your friends lying at your feet. There is a group of these elves that have approached, and they are looking kind of rough and tumble. They have armor and weapons, metal armor. It's not the fanciest. There's a group of five of them. There are five elves here.
Gosh.
This one who seems to be the leader and four others. Their garb varies in quality to very, very shitty up to less shitty.
Okay. So they're like a bunch of, they're like raiders.
They seem to be like, as far as you know, the information that you have is that they're thieves because they were trying to steal from everybody who was on the ground. They don't look particularly like well equipped, at least not elaborately so. Mm-hmm. The leader who you're circling right now is the most well equipped of the group. He has some scale mail on that is not necessarily rusty, but a bit tarnished. It hasn't been the most well cared for, although it still glimmers off of the light as he moves. And the metal is a little bit unfamiliar to you. It's not just traditional steel or dwarven steel that you would be familiar with from Hosk. This is definitely elven. It has some of the elven flair that you're familiar with from your world, but obviously the cultures have evolved differently. Where you expect in your world, elvish stuff has a certain expectation of craft. This is just like what normal stuff is for them. You know, so
okay,
it would be the equivalent of like a regular kind of human shit in your world. And you guys are circling each other right now. And they continue to he continues to taunt you as you do. He's only speaking in Elvish. He's saying things back to his companions who are not engaging. They've kind of leaned back and let this kind of play it out. They don't seem to have a high opinion of you.
Okay.
You can tell that they're making fun of you. Wow. The leader who is circling you motions to his ears and then points at you and says something in Elvish and laughs.
Are you saying that I have small ears? But that's thanks, actually. My friends told me that I had big ears.
I don't. I would imagine that Nils would probably kind of be chuckling along with this. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys circle each other and are kind of teasing back and forth, you in common and he in Elvish. Nobody has made a move yet.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
Is there a place to arm wrestle?
I suppose nearby there would probably be a stump or something. You're in the woods. Sure, you could find a surface upon which to.
Okay, I like flick my head towards the closest stump, and the guy I'm circling, the elf I'm circling, is, hey, I know you can't understand me, but come on over here. And then I put my hammer.
Mm-hmm.
I like sheath it or.
Oh yeah,
I throw it on my back.
Yeah, yeah.
And I kind of walk over to the stump, and then I put my arm down on the stump.
like hold it in a
ready position.
Yeah, yeah.
Does he get that? Does he understand what I'm trying to do?
I'm going to put a chance on this and roll to see if he understands it. I think he would. I think that this would be something that would develop across Yeah, across worlds. Yeah. I think that idiot dudes would probably, you know.
Hey, wait, what? What the heck? Did you call my character an idiot?
Yeah, put a third language down for you. It's bro.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, it should be.
Lad speak.
Yeah, lad speak. That's the difference, is that you can speak bro and they speak lad. And
bro lad. Lad bro.
Yeah, there's like a moment of recognition when he sees what you're doing. He looks back over at his companions. Roll insight.
11.
11, okay. He looks back over at his companions, but other than kind of a check-in to see, is this what's happening? You don't really interpret that as anything other than just kind of a like, is this guy really? Is this guy for real?
Yeah.
But after a beat, he sheathes his sword, and he comes over, and he does sit down opposite you.
All right.
While you're doing that, meanwhile, in the library, there's like a jostling. You all feel it.
What was that?
You felt it too.
Yeah, but I can't say that I've astral projected much.
I've never really done it on purpose, but when it's happened, you know, it's that's kind of a strange feeling. Like that
it doesn't normally feel jumbly.
No, it's that the closest thing that reminds me of when you've tried to kind of snap me out of it.
Mm.
Do you think that something maybe isn't all as it should be in the woods?
Majumbo, how well do you trust Nils to protect our bodies?
Absolutely with my life, but maybe we should get going with things.
Okay.
I love that. 100%, but let's go.
Sorry, I'm looking at the DM like, have we gotten all the information that we were supposed to have gotten? But what was I was creeping around something. Help me out with my memory here.
Jeez.
I thought Katheria was trying to look into, like Majumbo had found out about these symbols.
Yeah.
But Katheria kind of wanted to look into the council.
Her stuff?
High Elf Council. Yeah.
Okay.
I think she's going to push. She hasn't gotten information.
She hasn't gotten
enough.
What she needs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like he said, Nils has got this. And I don't want to leave yet.
Right.
There's just one thing I want to check. You said, and I'm trying to play coy. I'm trying to be like, you said that the pig people were from the West?
That appears to be the case from these books. I'm not sure if perhaps they have migrated since this seems to be a rather old.
All right, I'm going to tune him out.
Yeah.
Set him on a path here. As I look for books to, with anything having to do with the High Elf Council, or I'm looking for Galadoy.
Sure, sure, sure. Roll investigation.
Maybe the moon, because it's the same thing. 8.
Eight's not going to do it. A lot of the stuff here is in languages that you don't understand. Even, I imagine, do you have languages on your character sheet?
I do.
Druidic, Elvish, Draconic, Halfling, and Sylvan.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though you are, even though Katheria is quite the polyglot, a lot of these books are in languages that you don't understand. They appear to be quite ancient texts. And even though you see many in Elvish, the dialect is foreign. It's like reading like Old English. Like an Anglo-Saxon version of Beowulf.
This is very frustrating for her.
It's very frustrating. Yeah. Like, because like there's maybe the occasional word or like, what's the word for like a conjugate or whatever of a word that seems familiar to you, mm-hmm. or is a borrowed word from a different language. There's one text that you pull that's in this old archaic form of Elvish that has a lot of borrowed words from Draconic, but Draconic isn't a language that is often written, so you're having a really hard time with that one.
She is clocking so much association with Draconic and dragons. Mm-hmm. There's a lot here that was she's surprised about,
mm-hmm.
and it's just going to hold on to that in bitterness because she knows all of these languages and they're not helping.
Mm-hmm. Nils, roll perception. That would be very frustrating for Katheria. Her intelligence not being able to
figure something out.
19.
A 19, yeah. The guy, as he sits down across from you, you're getting kind of a different, you know, you're sizing him up, right? Mm-hmm. And you know that what you've invited him to is a test of strength.
And also a kind of diversion to buy some time for my buddies.
For them to come back.
Yeah,
you're kind of sizing him up. And you get a better look at his whole vibe when he sits down. You were focused more when you were circling each other on his armor, his weapons, his stance, his fighting style, things like that. You were looking for weaknesses. Mm-hmm. Now you're looking at his kind of person. He seems a little bit, not necessarily gaunt, but on the thinner side. In your experience, elves have always been a little bit more slight, so you don't think that, you don't perceive that that could be representative of his strength or anything. So you're not like, you don't think, okay, I've got this automatically.
Okay.
But you do notice, okay, this guy might not be, he might have missed a couple meals. You don't know if that's because they're out adventuring or what. Mm-hmm. You also notice that as he sits down, a necklace slips out from under his armor, and it has it's a very, very crude, simple necklace. It's not any kind of precious metals or anything. It's a leather strap with a wooden emblem, and painted on this wooden emblem, it's carved a little bit, but painted over it, it is a white oak leaf and acorn.
It's a real idol, dude.
It's a real idol.
It's a real survivor idol.
This has power. This grants immunity. You're fucked in this arm wrestle. He's got immunity.
It grants immunity in arm wrestling. Oh no!
I've got this.
You are also listening. You're tuned in now to your surroundings. Where your eyes are focused on him as you're about to engage in this arm wrestling competition, but you're also trying to listen and keep your senses about you to make sure that his companions, the other four elves, don't get up to too many shenanigans.
Yeah.
And as you are, you do hear that one of them has started to creep over to Navia's sleeping body, projected body, and is starting to maybe rummage behind your back, but you can hear it going on behind you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would like to gesture towards the elf who sat down. I want to like look at his necklace.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get close?
Yeah, you can, because you can lean in. You could get pretty close.
I'll lean in, and I'd like to like kind of grab it and then pull him in and punch him in the face.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
You do it dirty, Nils.
They're doing dirty behind my back. If okay. I can hear this correctly, I'm causing a distraction.
Okay. Roll a athletics roll to pull him.
Okay.
And let's see.
Oh, 11.
You grab it. You don't quite like smash his head into the stump like you maybe wanted to, but you do grab a hold. You're able to. He's not. I'll just go ahead and he's not able to kind of like pull away quickly. You definitely caught him off guard.
Yeah.
And then I guess roll unarmed strike, and then we'll
unarmed strike. Okay. Yeah,
and then I guess we'll roll for initiative.
21.
That will hit.
Okay. Punch him right in the face.
Yeah, you punch him right in the face.
Does that startle the team behind me?
Oh, for sure.
Okay, good. Do they stop rummaging?
They stop rummaging. Okay, definitely. Roll damage.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I know we haven't had a combat in a while. But
it's like 4.
All right, you punch him square in the face. He's taken aback. He grabs his nose. There's a little bit of blood. You can see in his face. He's just, he like stands up and staggers back. There's like a moment of just like, wait, what?
I throw my hands up like, what is this pose that I'm doing right now? Sorry. I say like, sorry. I think your buddies are doing me dirty.
Let's roll for initiative. The elves got a nat 20, so
okay.
So let's see if you can roll a nat 20, otherwise they're gonna go first.
All right. 8, 9.
Yeah, okay. They will go first, which sure. makes sense given the situation.
Sure, yeah.
But meanwhile, in the lab, that I definitely felt. Did you guys feel that? That felt like when you tried to rouse me out of this, that one time with the surge. Nils might be trying to get our attention. I think we better go. Is there anything else you need to get out of here, Kat?
I just want five more minutes. All I need are five more minutes. Because she's like, she does not want to be beaten by these books.
You watch the like kind of spectrally form of Navia like hold for a second. She's like, all right, well, it seems like it's stopped. So I guess we're probably okay. And then we're going to go back to the woods where the other four elves now have rushed over to you guys. as they do, one of them trips over Katheria's body. And you feel a little like nudge in your like hip, even in your spectral form.
Oh, she does not like that.
Do you make mention of it to anyone?
No.
Okay. Just making sure.
Sorry. That wasn't me being mad. It's me realizing like, no, she really wants to roll one more time to see if she can get just a lick of information.
Sure.
A lick.
What is it that you are looking for? You're looking for anything specific to your family or Gayla Doi or...
I think she's looking for Earthadar. Yeah.
Earthadar, okay.
A word that looks like Earthadar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's see.
Probably in one of the old Elfish books.
Mm-hmm. It's not so much a book as it is a scroll.
Ooh.
It's in a case... And it's kind of hidden away. It's not that it's hidden. It's not that it was intentionally put somewhere so that people wouldn't find it. But it is in the back, behind some books, made almost to appear as though it was forgotten about. But like you're looking at this thing and you're like, how could anybody forget about this scroll? Like it's in a almost gilded case that is carved out of black oak.
Ooh.
And inside of it, there's a very old parchment, and when you unroll it, the only thing that you can make sense of is your name.
And my name.
Well, not Katheria.
Gotcha.
Your family name.
Earthadar. Okay. Yeah.
And the rest of it appears to be in this kind of like hybrid, archaic, elvish, draconic.
Okay. I think she's satisfied. She's gotten something. And she's going to roll that back up and put it back where it is and note where she found it and note where that is.
In the
library.
Right. Okay. You do that. And then in the woods, Nils, now you have stood up and shrugged as the rest of the elves come around. One of them is going to try to, from behind you, is going to try to hit you with... It's not necessarily a warhammer. It's more of a maul. It's cruder than a warhammer, but it is a large bludgeoning instrument.
Okay.
And he rolled a 2. That's not going to do it. He gets a little bit over-eager. This is the guy who tripped over Katheria, and he was off balance, and he kind of overextends himself, and the big, heavy end of the maul falls to your side, and you kind of sidestep it a little bit.
Easy.
The next one, this one does have a sword. He swings at you, but you parry the blow aside effortlessly, almost as if you're toying with this one. There's a third one. The third one, same deal. Those two look very similar. They could be related. You kind of clock that these two guys might be somehow related. They look very similar and they behave very similar fighting styles. Mm-hmm. The last of the henchmen is going to try to hit you as well. This guy, he has a mace, and his blow connects with your armor, and you are going to take 7 damage.
Wow.
Yeah, it crunches you pretty good. It gets you, you got a little bit too cocky, and this one gets you in the arm of your armor, right, in the inside of your armor where there's a little bit more exposed.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Nice hit.
Are you okay?
I just wasn't expecting a compliment. Right as I was taking a drink. The leader kind of just lets the other ones kind of fight with you. Something has caught his eye. You let's say that your previous perception roll is enough to kind of carry into these next few seconds.
Okay.
And you see that something behind you, something in his field of vision has caught his eye. And he does not interact with you in this span of bullet time. It is now your turn. What do you do?
I'd like to get a better vantage point. I want to see what he's looking at. I want to see what caught his eye.
Okay, roll insight.
14.
14's enough. You can follow his gaze. He's looking in the direction of Katheria on the ground. You're not sure exactly what it is about her that has caught his attention, but he's definitely looking in the direction of her and her kind of whole thing. He's looking down. You know, she's on the ground lying prone. Okay. And he's looking down in her direction. That's as best as you can kind of figure out. You don't know what it is about her that's so interesting to him.
I'd like to yell, "Hey, elf man!" And then I start running towards him.
Okay. He turns and he looks at you and you can still do things.
Okay. I'd like to tackle him.
Okay. Roll athletics. And this we'll do this as like a grapple.
Okay. Well,
And you rolled an eight, but he rolled a five.
Okay. This is a clumsy tackle.
So, yeah. So, like, you trip. He's backing up and he trips. But you end up on top of him in the laboratory. You have now found this scroll. What do you do?
My heart's beating.
Yeah.
I'm my blood's boiling because I want to know what's on this scroll, but I don't want to know what's on this scroll. I've found it. I'm lying to my friends what I'm doing. I felt that hip check.
Mm-hmm.
Katheria has not been touched around her hips her whole life.
Yeah.
This is unpleasant. Yeah, I think at this point she's going to turn to the other two who are worried and say, "The onion smell. It's just what they smell like, I guess. That's what the book said. Let's go."
I suppose a pig guitar could smell worse. Majumbo says as he starts to manipulate the pop-up book. You feel the magical energies of this incredibly powerful magic item start to take hold of you as you're pulled away from the laboratory. And there is a physical feeling of being pulled. As this happens, Navia's spectral form, her knees kind of buckle and she falls towards you. Roll a dexterity saving throw.
Okay. This girl, 19.
Yes, you catch her, or your spectral forms come together. And you see that her nose is bleeding a little bit. And she says, "Cat, I think something's not right."
Navia.
And there is a bright flash. And right at the moment that you find yourself back in the woods, you're also surrounded by a surge of wild magic.
Uh-oh.
Hey, everybody. Grussel here with a few quick announcements, and then we're going to get you right back to it. Thanks so much for listening to episode 5 of our prequel series. By now, I'm sure you know that we will be running this prequel series with Beth and Mike until James and Chelsea return in the spring and we get going on season 5. But we're having a lot of fun with this one, and I hope that you guys are enjoying listening to it. Be sure to follow us on social media at dndndpod on Twitter and dndndpod on Instagram, or email us at dndndpod@gmail.com. And check out our Patreon, patreon.com/dndndpod, I believe. And we will be getting the last two t-shirts designed here by the end of the year. Beth was sidetracked by her appearance at Comic-Con. Incredible. She had an amazing weekend in San Diego. A couple of listeners came by and said hi. So thanks to everybody who said hi to Beth and Mike while at San Diego Comic-Con. But she's returned from that and we'll be getting going on those t-shirt designs right away. If you cannot wait for the Beth art that will be featured on the t-shirts, the Rad Shop is open for a brief time. So go check that out, radshop.cool, for Beth's artwork, including some D&D merch. Go check that out, radshop.cool, for those things. The posters, cannot say enough good things about the logo posters. And if you don't have one or all three, go get them while you still can. Radshop.cool. Beth's also got her other podcast, Your Art Friends, with fellow artist Andrew Thompson. Check that out wherever you're listening to this show. And also go listen to a friend of the show, Nick Scardarossi's new podcast, Rata Sleuthy, a true crime parody podcast of the Pixar film Ratatouille, investigating just what really happened to Chef Gusteau. It's a very funny, pitch-perfect parody. I gotta say, Nick and his co-creator, Ali Gordon, did an amazing job. So go check that out wherever you're listening to this show. Rata Sleuthy. It's very, very funny. New episodes of that show will be released on Mondays. And there's a few more. It's limited series. But there is a few more coming. So listen to the first three available now. New episodes will be coming out on Mondays. I think that is it for me. Just the ads. Then we'll get back to the show. So thanks, everybody. Do what's fun.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You return to the woods. Nils, suddenly you find yourself blinded by a brilliant light that is glowing, emanating from the direction of your three unconscious companions. Mm-hmm. This affects all of the elves as well, and there's a moment where everybody kind of reacts as though this huge bright light has just erupted from this point and temporarily blinded you. What this means for a gameplay condition is that you cannot see.
Okay, yeah.
I'm blind. And you automatically fail any ability check that requires sight. You're going to have disadvantage on attack rolls. But as far as you can tell, before your vision kind of blinks out to just like whiteness, mm-hmm. it's affected all of the elves as well. You don't know what this means for your friends. Let's roll you guys into initiative.
Yes. Thanks. 10.
it's a strong, mediocre roll.
14 for Majumbo, and nat 20 for Navia.
Ooh.
So Navia is going to be up top when we get back to it. It was just your turn. You tackled the guy.
Tackled, yes.
And you had gotten a 9. So we'll slot, let's say, Theria, you can act now, but then you'll go after Nils. It's going to be ultimately Navia, the elves, Majumbo, Catheria, and then Nils. I'll let you have an action here, Catheria, since everybody's kind of taken aback and you've just had this moment. You come out of it. You are not blinded by this effect that happened, but you see the kind of residual effects of it. And there's a like when you open your eyes, it takes you a minute to adjust kind of thing. But you are able to see after just a couple seconds. You stand up.
Where's Navia?
She's there.
Okay.
But she's not writhing, but she's clearly uncomfortable. And she's glowing, like actually glowing. She looks very scared. Majumbo is also coming out of it, and he sees he sees what's going on. And he says, "See, I was right to trust him, but it's probably good that we got back."
I just stare daggers at him.
He's got it. It's fine. There's only 5 of them. I've seen much worse.
I just like, I'm looking up.
Yeah, you hear everything. Like, yeah.
Where is there? What?
You hear what's going on, but you're unable to see anything. Majumbo draws a rapier that Catheria, you're very impressed by. That is a fine weapon.
Mm.
In a way that you did not expect. From Majumbo.
Russell, what are you doing?
What do you mean?
That's my girlfriend. Trying to get her to fall in love with Majumbo?
No, Majumbo, he's dressed nice.
No,
he talks to me real smooth. He's got a long weapon.
Oh, stop, you two.
You clock the quality of it more than anything that resembles that relates to Majumbo. But it is unexpected. But yes, Navia is glowing on the ground and she looks very, very concerned. What else do you do? It's your turn.
I'm going to drop to my knees and clutch at Navia and wipe the blood off of her nose.
Yes, you can see that was something that manifested in the physical world as well.
Mm-hmm.
She is otherwise glowing. It's happening more frequently, and this...
I'm here. You're not alone through this. As a matter of fact, Katheria is going to activate her starry form.
Ooh.
So as a bonus action, you can expend a use of your wild shape feature to take on a starry form. So her skin is covered in marks, like almost like tattoos of constellations.
Mm.
And she's going to start to glow. Those marks are going to start to become illuminated. All right. She's going to activate the archer form.
Okay. A constellation of an archer illuminates itself on Katheria's skin, burns bright enough where it kind of shines through her clothing. I guess Majumbo is the only one who notices this. And he kind of gives him pause as he's rushing over to help Nils. He kind of stops for a second, looks back, and he's like, "You girls full of surprises." When you activate this form as a bonus action on your subsequent turns while it lasts, you can make a ranged spell attack, hurling a luminous arrow that targets one creature within 60 feet of you. On a hit, it deals damage. So
we're going to do that.
Okay. Pick a creature.
You said there's five creatures.
There's five, yep.
What's the closest one?
The closest one is the one that kind of tripped over you.
Yeah, let's get that one.
Yeah. Yeah, you make a ranged spell attack.
Does a 23 hit?
A 23 will hit. This constellation forms on you, and you how do you throw the arrow? Does the archer like grow from you, and then the bow part of the constellation like forms on your in your arms, and then you shoot the arrow, or how does the magic work?
I don't think anything changes on my body. I think that depending on what form I'm taking, mm-hmm. the constellation, different parts of it light up.
Mm, okay.
And so I pull my arms back as if I'm holding a bow.
And then
and you can see the arrow across my arms.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
Okay. You do that and you draw back this thing and
you can see when I let go of it, the light.
Oh, that's so cool.
Turns off on my arm as if the
arrow flies forward.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Stormtail is jealous. He doesn't know why. Well, he's not even... Well, yeah, he's young, isn't he?
He'd be, like, young, yeah.
Like,
younger.
What was that?
Yeah, somewhere in the woods.
Somewhere in the woods.
In Moonshadow, he's like...
Another time and place.
Something cool happened. So that light passes through your body, and then Majumbo's the only one who can see this light then explode through the chest of this one...
Whoa.
...elf who, yeah, kind of clutches it. His wound and then falls to the ground. It's just off center, so it may not be a fatal wound. We'll see. Yes, this bright light then erupts through him, and he clutches it and falls to the ground, yelling. Nils, it's your turn. You are blinded. You haven't yet come out of it, but it's Han Solo and Jedi. A big light blur. Yeah.
Wah! I yell. Cat. Boho.
I'm here, my friend. We have returned.
You're
to
back.
Yes, you appear to need some aid.
I don't say anything.
I do. I can't. Is Cat back?
Yes, she's here, and she just did something very cool.
Okay, I heard it, but I didn't see anything.
Oh,
I can't see.
You missed out. Yes, our other friend Navia seems to have blinded everybody. It's a very effective tactic, although it seems to have come at a cost.
Yeah, I can't see anything.
Behind you.
Okay, and I swing my warhammer backwards kind of clumsily.
All right, let's roll with disadvantage.
Okay, yeah.
And see what happens.
Dang it, 22 and... Oh, 19. Okay.
All right. Yeah, you got
Why'd
him.
Why'd you say dang it?
Because his
first
disadvantage.
One was a 22, so it was, yeah.
So he was not going to be.
Yeah, it could have been way worse.
Again, like Jedi, you swing back at Boba Fett and hit him with your Warhammer, you knock him. So go ahead and roll your damage.
Okay.
These boys.
Six. Burp.
These boys are full of surprises.
It is up to...
Did I hear her say that?
Yeah, do you mutter that out loud?
No, I don't think she's looking.
Dang. Yeah.
Dang, sorry,
you're
sorry.
Not even looking. Okay.
It is, it's up to Navia. Navia is shaking off the effects of her wild magic, and she starts to she starts to glow less, although it's lingering a little bit longer, and you two share a look of concern that an effect like this she's lit up before. This is like, that isn't that crazy, but that it's had such an effect, and it's had such an effect on her is concerning to both of you. And you can see the kind of look, the concern behind her eyes. But she does stand up, and she kind of shakes it off, and she looks at you, and she sees your starry form. She recognizes that, like, okay, this is a serious situation, and she's going to thorn whip one of the other elf thugs, getting a 22, which will certainly hit, and this thorn wraps up the legs of this second elvish thug, and trips him. It does 4 damage, and now that one is prone. It's going to be the elves' turn now. The wounded one just kind of writhes and starts to scamper away. When he does, something falls out of his pocket, and then the one that was tripped is going to try to scamper to his feet, but he's still held up by the thorn whip. The other two are going to try to attack Majumbo now. He is able to parry their attempts at attack. He's also, like Nils, kind of having too much fun with it.
Yeah.
He's like, ha, you silly men. how dare you try to attack Majumbo Namzarid? He is enjoying himself a little bit too much. Now, but the big one, the leader, they're all the same size. But the leader is going to try to figure out where you are. He's still blinded. Where you are, Nils, and swing at you. Will a 16 get you? No, right?
Ooh,
yeah, okay. Yeah, he's going to miss. He swings wildly over your head with his sword, and you feel the air move as the blade passes above you. Mm-hmm. But Nils is a little bit shorter, and especially shorter than most elves.
Yeah.
And the elf did not compensate for the stocky young lad from Hosk. It is Majumbo's turn. He's going to toy with these elves in front of him a little bit, but first he is going to dance away and with one hand play a little ditty on his flute, and he's going to give Bardic Inspiration to Nils.
Oh.
It's one person, because it's not... Oh, wait, no!
It's the same flute!
It's the flute!
Oh,
right.
Oh, this is exciting.
So it's everybody.
Ooh.
Yeah. I forgot that it's Majumbo's flute.
It's Majumbo's flute.
Very specifically. So it's everybody. Everybody gets Bardic Inspiration. You have 1d8 that you can add to a ability check, attack roll, or saving throw.
Plus what? Again, 10?
1d8.
1d8.
Yeah. And plus then
10.
It's I think for Flack it's a d10 now.
Yeah.
I think they're at a higher level.
I remembered a 10.
It goes up. And then he is going to try to swipe at one of these other elves with his sword. He doesn't, though. He misses. He was a little bit too cocky. And he's flourishing a little bit instead of like just doing what needs to be done. Your vision, Nils, is still blurred. You can't quite make out what he's doing. From as far as you can tell, he made an attempt to hit one of them, but you're just seeing shapes.
Okay.
Katheria.
Who do I attack? Do I want to kill this guy? He's on the floor. He's not threatening to me.
He does not seem a threat. He seems that Navy has got him under control.
I'm going to go after those who are fighting Majumbo.
Okay.
I'm going to cast Guiding Bolt.
Okay. At one of them?
At one of them.
Okay.
Nice. 21.
Oh, yeah. 21 will certainly hit. Go ahead and roll your damage.
That's going to be 21. That's not right. Is that right?
4d6. Is that right? A target takes 4d6 radiant. What the fuck?
That's so good.
A flash of light streaks toward the elf that was fighting Majumbo. The Majumbo just misses his attack. And as he's kind of stepping back around to center himself after he swiped and missed, he just turns just in time to see this elf get smashed with this bolt of light, blown clear off his feet into the brush beyond this little clearing where you guys are. And there's a moment there where he just kind of looks at the space where the elf got knocked into, and then he looks back at you, and he just says, "Full of surprises, indeed."
Katheria's a little surprised herself. But she's going to lock eyes with Majumbo, and then pull back her arm, and as a bonus action, use her archer ability on the other one.
Okay.
Behind him.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Nice. 19.
Yeah, that will also hit. Yep. A little bit less damage on this one.
Maybe a little bit. Oh, well, this one's not going to be as impressive. Four damage.
Yeah, so you still, though, Majumbo sees the display of your starry form and what that does, this kind of and release of the constellation energy stored within your body. And it sails towards this other elf who takes it, and it impacts him for sure. But it doesn't have the same kind of...
push him into the bushes?
It doesn't knock him into the bushes. But he looks back at you after taking this hit, sees the remnants of the glow that are fading from your skin. He looks now back at the section of a brush where his companion was knocked to. And he, like the other one who was wounded, drops his maul and just starts running.
Cool.
It is Nils' turn. Nils, you're starting to come out of it a little bit. You can see kind of.
Okay.
So you're still going to have disadvantage, but you at least have a better sense of what's happening.
No, but everybody's running away.
The leader that you were fighting is still there.
Yeah.
And there is still the one that is wrapped up in Navia's thorn whip on the ground.
Does anyone speak Elvish?
Yeah.
I don't feel like having a conversation right now.
Maybe. I cast Zone of Truth on the leader.
Zone of Truth.
A failed save. Yeah, a creature cannot speak a deliberate lie.
Charisma save. Charisma save for the leader. The leader of...
Beat a 12?
He rolled a 13. He did beat it.
Dang it.
It is a radius spell.
Oh.
So everybody roll a charisma saving throw.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that big.
Fuck! Oh, God, I rolled a nat one.
Oh, no.
What happens? What happens to me?
Majumbo rolled a 13. He's good. And charisma save for Navia. Navia rolled a 16. She's good. Oh, no. I guess there's still that other elf, too. Who also succeeded.
What so the fuck?
Only Katheria is forced to tell the truth for 10 minutes. Or until the spell ends, I suppose.
And I know that
you know that happened. Yes. You know that it worked on Katheria. Okay. And everyone else, it did not work on.
Okay.
So that was your your action.
Yeah.
It's back up to Navia, who says, "Well, Nils, that probably would have been a good plan, but maybe we should have incapacitated them first before we started getting into magic that affects people's minds."
They're not a threat, and I didn't mean to.
And she does. Oh yeah, I have the buttons for them. She does the thorn whip again. Got a dirty 20, and is going to roll damage. And knocks this other one unconscious, just like whips it so that he like his like feet are bound up by the thorn whip, and she like whips the thorn whip and he just like smacks into the ground.
Oh man.
At the end of the whip and is knocked unconscious. You now only have the leader, who is going to once again try to attack you, Nils. Misses. You just, his sword just kind of clangs off of your castle forged armor.
See?
And you take the hit as if it were nothing. It is Majumbo's turn. He is going to try to aid you. He's going to cast Suggestion at the leader. Suggest a course of activity. The target must make a wisdom saving throw. So let's see. Oh, shit, he nat 20'd.
Oh,
this guy.
What is he going to suggest?
No, to the elf to
defend.
It. Yeah, to defend it.
Oh.
Majumbo reaches out with, he like weaves a little magical musical energy with his flute, and he suggests, drop your weapons and surrender to us immediately. But the elf just kind of shakes it off, and now with even more resolve stands to face the two of you. It is Katheria's turn. You cannot tell a lie. Otherwise, you can act as you want.
Right. Okay. Does she know that she's been...
You know you've been magicked, yeah.
Been magicked, but not specifically what it is that she's been magicked. What's fun? It's fun to not know.
I don't think there would be any reason that this would be like pepper spray in army training, where they would like subject you to a zone of truth.
Right.
You know?
All I know is that he said, do you want to have... Can you... Who can speak Elvish?
Yeah.
And now I feel magical.
Now you feel magicked.
Magicked.
Yeah, you've been affected by a magical spell.
Weird. He's a weird guy. I'm going to aim at that leader.
Okay.
And do my very powerful magic.
The guiding bolt?
The guiding bolt. So she's just been standing in the center of all of this, putting her arm up.
Yeah. Very witch-like.
Yeah, at every enemy so far.
You have shot at all but one at this point, I believe.
And that one's about to get shot at. 11. Oh, but with Bart, does it hit?
It does not.
But with Bardic Inspiration.
That's a D8.
Let's roll one. 15?
15 will miss.
No!
15 will miss. Your guiding bolt, your huge burst of bright light sails from your fingers. You've just been conducting this symphony of damage so far.
Yeah.
And then finally this sails off wide, slamming against a tree. It cracks the trunk of this small tree and it falls in the direction of the fracas. And as it does, the elf reacts in a surprising way as he's clocking the path of this tree as it's falling, and he dives towards you, Katheria. But he's not diving to you. He's diving near your feet, and you realize that he's reaching for something that you didn't know that you had dropped, because it happened when you got kicked while you were still astral projecting. He's reaching for the hourglass.
I'm going to reach for it, too.
Roll a dex saving throw.
Okay. Damn it! I rolled a nat 1!
Oh.
You bonk into him. Your heads collide. This would be a targeting penalty if it were football.
Oh, I think that conks out my starry form.
Yeah, it does. It like short circuits a little bit. You're going to take 4 damage.
Ow.
Ugh.
As you bonk heads, he will as well. But neither of you, even though you don't get the hourglass, you've bonked and you've taken damage, but he doesn't get the hourglass either. He's a little bit short on his dive, but you realize that is what he was reaching for. It is Nil's turn. You can now see.
Oh, okay. I've got. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I take a look around. I see the guy diving at Katheria, and I just run over where he is. I try to grab his legs and pull him away from.
All Katheria. Right. Roll another athletics check, and I will contest with disadvantage since you're grabbing his legs.
19.
You certainly got him. Yeah.
Grab him and I pull him away.
Whip him back. Yeah. Okay. You do that. You got him. Yeah.
And then I look down and I smile at Katheria. Wait, is she not on the ground, right?
Yeah, you probably would have staggered back, fallen. Yeah, yeah. You're rubbing your head.
4 damage on my head. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I reach out my hand to pick her up?
Yeah, of course.
I yes. And I take it.
And pull her up. I smile at her. And then I turn back to the elf.
Okay.
I guess I'll just stand there protected. I can't do anything else.
Sure. Right? You're just, like between the two. Yeah.
And I can't see the elf anymore because of his broad shoulders.
What are you talking about? I'm shorter than you.
No, but you are very broad.
I am broad. Thank you.
Yes. The gleaming...
Take the compliment, weirdo.
Thanks.
Yes.
She didn't say it out loud.
His like kind of half cape billows a little bit as he stands between you and the elf. Back up to Navia's turn. The elf that she had thorn whipped, now being knocked unconscious, she also directs her attention toward the leader. And she is going to, man, spells. Yeah.
You gotta read them all.
You gotta read them all.
Think about it.
Yeah, we're into infestation. Oh. Yeah. Navia steps forward and she waves her hands and she starts to almost pull things. It seems like she's like reaching for things from around the forest around you. And she starts to whip a cloud around in front of the elf. And you start to realize, all of you start to hear this buzzing sound as she has whipped up this cloud of mites and fleas and other parasites to appear momentarily near the elf. And she then pushes her hands out and sends this cloud of gross biting insects at this elf. He's going to make a constitution save.
They tell Nils, keep your mouth closed.
and Nils, you know that is true.
Yep. I turn back and I nod.
So he's going to take some poison damage. Now he is swatting away at all of these. He's screaming curses in Elvish Katheria. You can, of course, understand this, what he is saying.
Mm.
It's a bit more formal than the Elvish that you're familiar with. You know,
I'm surprised because of his raggedy clothes.
Right. But it is what you would know in your world to be high Elvish that he is speaking with a little bit of a like old style, you know. This would be like if someone was like, great googly moogly, you know, like it would be,
what?
You know, it would be like somebody speaking all, like all 20s, you know.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
And you understand this, and yeah, that is a little bit strange to you. That was Navia. It's now his turn. He's going to try to run away from this and get back toward the hourglass. But you, Nils, are standing in his way. He gets out from the cloud of bugs. He stands up in front of you. He looks around. He sees that he's got none of his buddies left. He sees you with your big warhammer, and he's got Navia there with her hands wielding the vines kind of growing around behind her, the thorn whip ready to go. Majumbo is kind of closing off one of his exit routes. He sees the situation, and he drops his sword and bolts. Mm.
I want to try casting command.
Okay.
On him. It'll be a wisdom 12.
Wisdom save. Yeah. I've got to beat a 12. He failed.
Oh, he failed.
One word command.
Halt.
He does.
Okay, now does anybody speak Elvish?
In Elvish, I'm going to ask, what did you want with this hourglass? And I pick it up.
That, young lady, is none of your business. It's property that I don't think was yours in the first place. I'm just trying to return it to those who are interested in having it, he says back in Elvish.
Nils, is there anything you need me to tell him?
I don't know. I was just going to see if you could talk to him and see what he knows about, well, like what he was interested, because he kept looking over at you when you were passed out, or when you were astral projecting, you were passed out. But you were passed out.
He was looking at me?
Yeah, he was looking at you very inquisitively, and it looked like he was going after, he wanted something of yours, and I don't know.
Why were you looking at me, she says in Elvish.
There's nothing particularly remarkable about you, just some human.
Well, that's absolutely not true.
Which is true.
In Elvish, she's going to say, I'm Katheria Urthadar of the Urthadar line.
You hear her name, but you don't understand anything else.
Katheria.
The elf doesn't react necessarily to your name. It's kind of like a, you know, you tried to pull a do you know who I am, yeah, kind of thing. But he doesn't necessarily react to that. He's like, you're a human. You're so you've got a fancy name. You've got one of your names might be like our names, but you've got those tiny pathetic ears just like your friend here.
He's insulting your ears, I whisper to Nils.
Oh, they already did that earlier.
That's so funny.
Why did you come here?
That is decidedly none of your business.
He won't answer any of my questions.
Well, tell him we'll beat him up.
We'll beat you up.
Roll intimidation.
10.
You like go away.
Oh, hold on. I am going to Bardic Inspiration this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Okay. Okay.
18. All right. Yeah. Okay. For sure. Yeah. That'll do it.
Full inspiration there. Nice.
Yes.
You walk over as Katheri is asking questions. You kind of circle behind him. You crack your knuckles. You've got your war hammer out. You're standing over him. He has, he dropped his sword, so he doesn't have a weapon. He's understanding that he's kind of been beaten. Katheri, can see like the look on his face change a little bit. His eyes are following Nils. His confidence is shaken.
I'm going to ask you again. And Katheri will cross her arms, stand to her full height, and approach him while Nils is walking back and forth like a panther. What are you doing here?
Listen, I saw or heard, I guess, what you did to my companions. I don't want any of that, okay? I believe, I guess, but I'm not like true faithful, okay? Like here, and he pulls that emblem off of his necklace and he like tosses it at you and he's like, look, it's not that big of a deal, okay? Like I can, I don't need to be one of them. Like just let me go and we'll forget about the whole thing, okay?
I don't know what he means.
You don't know what he means. I mean, you say that because of the Zone of Truth spell.
What do you mean, true believer?
You guys aren't fighting us because we're White Oaks.
No. We're fighting you because you were trying to... Well, I don't know why we're fighting you. Why are we fighting him?
Why are we fighting? Because they were going to steal from us.
You were going to steal from us.
Well, that's true. We were going to steal from you. You know, that's what we were out here for. We were kind of scouts for the cult. Do you really not know this?
Tell me everything.
I'll tell you if you let me go.
We'll let you go if you tell us.
We were part of a group of White Oaks. You know, I feel like I shouldn't have to say this, but it's the cult of Yanarinthanius. Yanarinthanius or Ganthium, the supreme ruler of all realms. He will return one day to rule over all things.
And you're not a true believer. And Yanarinthanius. She says it so cool, though. She, like, I can't say it, but, like, Kat can say it.
Perfect Elvish.
Perfect Elvish.
That's what I hear from her. Yanarinthanius. What is going on? What are they saying?
If it gets me out of this situation, I'll believe in whatever you tell me to believe, lady. We were at the cult's hideout in the city. We got a posting. You know, from a higher up, that there was going to be some travelers out in the woods, rough them up. And we had a list of things. We were like, here, look over. I think if you look over here, I think Volmar dropped the work order. Can I go over there? And he's like looking at Nils while he's asking you.
No.
Well. Okay, then one of you grab that paper over there.
Majumbo.
Yes.
Bring me that paper. I point.
Of course, naturally. And he goes over and he picks it up. And he definitely opens it up and looks at it before he gives it back to you. And he says, this appears to be some kind of list of items and crude drawings. Yeah, it looks like they were after. It looks like they were after these hourglasses for some reason. I can't quite read this. It looks like a very old version of Elvish that I'm unfamiliar with. But
ooh! Is he close enough to me for me to snatch it out of his hands?
Of course,
I do that. Remembering the old Elvish I couldn't read and bitterly looking at this, trying to like fit the pictographs next to the words and find like prefixes and suffixes that I recognize.
This like thieves wish list isn't going to be your Rosetta Stone.
But what if it is?
But in that moment, Kat probably thought it could be.
Uh-huh.
And it is an old version of Elvish, but this is more like Shakespeare than Beowulf. This is just kind of, it's just an old style that you, as someone who has studied, is able to kind of, figure out much more quickly than Majumbo, who his understanding of Elvish is unknown to you, but he did claim that he could not read it. But this does appear to be a note that is saying, watch out at this area for, you know, travelers. Be warned that there will be, you know, there could be, you know, high level, you know, magic users among them. Find these hourglasses, retrieve them. There will be a reward, and there's a handsome reward. You don't necessarily know what the currency relates to, but there's a big number.
Big number.
Yeah. On the back of it, the back of this paper, there's embossed this image of the white oak leaf and acorn.
Okay. So that's all this means to you? And I hold up the hourglass?
And his eyes get really big.
This is just reward money?
I mean, you read the note. That kind of reward would... Look at us. That would be life-changing for us. We could maybe even leave the cult if we got our hands on that kind of cash.
I would recommend leaving the cult anyway.
Sister, you don't have to tell me twice.
Nils, I think we can let him go.
Okay. You are free to leave with your friends.
And he says in common, you got it.
Oh!
And he just runs.
You have big ears. That's probably fine. They don't, that's just normal for them.
D&D is a Moorpark Media podcast and a Spotify preferred partner. Written and edited by me, James Gressel. D&D is performed by James A. Janisse, Chelsea Rebecca, Beth Radloff, and Mike Seigen.